Good morning, brothers and sisters. I thought I'm done with my sharing because the last song was like my sharing. I belong to Jesus. Although it's not the title of my sharing. And very happy to be back sharing here in front of you again, brothers and sisters. I just realized and I recognize the voice of the song leader. Whenever I'm here, he's here. Last December, I'm here, he's also here. So, I don't want to compare, but you're more handsome than me, so they'll notice it already, right? Okay, so what am I going to share for everyone? These two verses actually an introduction. It's an introduction to the remainder of Paul's letter to the Romans. So the title of my sharing is Our Body, Your Body, My Body. So it's Our Body. So that's the title of my sharing. This is for me, it's very powerful for me, especially in my life. I consider this as two of my life verses. So when I say life verse, let me say life verse. For me, it brings back memories of my journey to this faith. So that I really love this first two verses of Letter to the Romans. Although I'm just going to share one because there's too many to share for verse one. I divided it into four parts actually. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And let's read. I forgot I cannot read, so I'm just going to quote it. So Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Stop there and let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity to bless and praise you, Lord God. Father, open our hearts and our minds to the ministry of your word, Father. Direct us, Father. Guide us, Lord. Instruct us, Father, to the understanding and wisdom of your word, Lord God. Help us, Father, to apply the wisdom of your word to our lives. Help us, Father, and bless us, Lord, that we would not just only hearers, but also doers of your word. And we all ask this in Jesus Christ's name, our Savior. Amen. Okay, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So, like what I've said, this is a life verse for me, this two verses. No? Verse 1, this is the Paul letters to the Romans. It brings so many memories for me throughout the journey of my faith, my walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I was able to share this to you on our Friday fellowship, right? So I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It takes a long time for me to invite Him to be the Lord of my life. It's quite a difficult time for me. I transitioned from being a Catholic to being a believer and listening only to tapes. It's a very difficult transition for me from Catholic to tapes of Brother Branham. So it's very hard, you know, because I'm a Catholic and that Sister Cora is a believer when we met in college. So it's quite hard. So, but there's a time in my life, there's a place in my life wherein I recognize that I'm a sinner, that we are a sinner, that I need a Savior. I recognize that. I recognize my sin, right? We know that our sin separated us from God. We know that, right? So, I made a choice out of that. We made a choice out of that. That I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior. And that's good. That's very good. That's wonderful, right? Inviting Him as to be our Savior, to recognize our sin, right? That we need a Savior. But I haven't invited Him to be the Lord of my life. So why? Because everything is going smooth in my life. Everything is fine. Everything is okay. I have a very good job. Those who don't know, I used to be a professor in a university in the Philippines. And Sister Cora is working in an MNC till this day. So, everything is okay. So, I have no reason to make Him as my Lord. Why? Because I thought I am a very good small L Lord of my life. I love to control my life. It's part of our fleshly being to resist making other to be the Lord of our lives. So, years come, right? After so many years, I come to a place where I recognize that there are reasons for Jesus to be my Lord. I don't understand that before. I don't realize that before. I have reasons to make Him Savior. But I really don't have reason to make Him my Lord before. And we have a lot of things in the Bible that can tell us that these are very good reasons. We can see those reasons in the Bible. But we often not hear them. We see them, but we don't hear them. And that's me. So, I wish I have read all those reasons written in the scriptures. Right? See them all, hear them all, and realize how I wish I was able to do that. That I made Him the Lord of my life because of what I read in the Bible during those times. How I wish I was able to do that. How I wish I was like Adam at a young age, helping the church. How I wish I was like Brother Infant. Were you there, Brother Infant?
Yes,
I'm here. Just stay present. Okay, so I wish I had married. Why? Because we have the same interests, research. And he's very honest. I wish when I was in his age, I prioritized God. Even though I'm doing my research and doing my work. When I was his age. You're 25, brother, right? So, anyway, you're still young in my memory. I love your face, so you're very young. So, I thought you were 25. So, anyway, so I wish I'm like him when I was in his age. I wish I'm like Brother Prince. Present? Yeah, I heard Brother Prince. I wish I'm like him, that I have my children here growing up, because Joshua and Anna were not able to grow up in the church when we were in the Philippines. So I wish I'm like him, very responsible, when I was in his age. But I am not, brothers and sisters. Why? Because God deals with us differently. God deals with us unique. And I'm very thankful to God. Because of His patience and mercy, that I am here in front of you, glorifying our God, Jesus Christ. So I thank God for His mercy and patience. And very stubborn, as Sister Cora. Right? I'm very stubborn. That's why I'm very thankful to God. Very grateful. So it's when we make Jesus as Lord and a Savior, it's kind of the same thing, right? I mean, in the sense that it's the act of will. So I thank God that because it takes some time, it takes something to happen for us, right? For God to open our eyes. For me, there's a lot of failures in my life. When you're in the Philippines, finances, our work, right? Sister Cora going here, so difficult for me and Sister Cora during that time. So, it takes that situation, that circumstances in our lives. It took a big rock to fall on my head for me to realize that I am a very bad Lord of my life. Small L. That I cannot live my life. That's why I started the process of bending my knee and declare Him and crown Him as the Lord of my life. And this making Him Lord and Savior is It's the same thing in the sense that it's the act of the will, right? And I can show to you, I want to show to you, I mean, verses, right? Two verses that will, this setting up of our will, this act of the will, right? Let's turn to 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Just be quoting the half of the passage, right? Sanctify our Lord God in your heart. Is that right? 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify our God in your heart. Sanctify, right? What does it mean, right? Meaning, in your heart, brothers and sisters, set apart Jesus as Lord. Peter is writing to believers, right? Not to unbelievers. He's writing to you and me. That in our heart, we make Jesus as Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And then you have James 4:7. Right? James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Right? James chapter 4, verse 7. Again, James is writing to believers, right? Submit yourselves therefore to God. It means what? Give ourselves to God. Make Jesus our Lord. Make Jesus the Lord of our lives. It is the act of submitting the will, the life, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is written for us, brothers and sisters. Right? So what's Paul is trying to tell here, right? James and Peter, right? So this act of the will, right, is for us Christians to go through. We have to go through this. Right? So I'm asking you a question right now. Right? What are your reasons for making Jesus Lord? Especially the young people. Why is it a good idea to make Jesus the Lord of our lives? And that's what Paul in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 is essentially appealing to us. Urging us, encouraging us. It depends on what kind of translation you have, right? So he's appealing to us to do what? To give our lives to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his appeal, right? The first three words: I beseech you, I urge you, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. When you say appeal, beseech, urge, right? Encourage, exhort. Paul is telling us appeal is a process of making someone or a group of people listen to your reasoning, to your side of the story. Why? For us, when you make a choice, when you make a decision, it is based on that appeal. Right? And we're very familiar with appeals, right? We have appeals in school, at our ward, even in our homes, right? There's appeal, right? In our family. Right now, Anna has an appeal. Right? It's now an appeal. And he and she and her appeal is pending right now with me and Sister Cora. Right? She wants something in July. So she's appealing. And her appeal is pending. Right? Last month, Elijah had an appeal and was denied by the Supreme Court. Is that right, Elijah?
Yeah.
So we're very familiar with the fear, brothers and sisters. That's what Paul is telling us. Right? Listen. Paul is telling us, listen to reason, and based on that, make a decision based on the act. But appeal to what? Brothers and sisters. Appeal to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Give your life. Give our lives to Jesus Christ. Surrender the will and the life to Jesus Christ. That is appeal, right? He just used sacrificial language, right? As a living sacrifice. He uses sacrificial language, which is very unique, right? It's different from the Old Testament sacrifice, right? We're very familiar with the Old Testament sacrifice. When you sacrifice, you bring what? You bring animal. You bring grain. You bring drink, right? When you offer a sacrifice to God. It's when you notice, when you realize, when you sacrifice outside of yourself, right? Anything but yourself. That's what the sacrifice before. But right now, Paul is telling us, right? Bring yourself to the altar. Sacrifice yourself to the altar. Right? Don't bring animal. Don't bring food. Don't bring drink. Bring you. Right? Bring yourself, brothers and sisters, as a living sacrifice. That's very unique. Right? That's very interesting. That's one interesting part. As a sacrifice. What else? Second, all the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice that was brought into the altar, every one of them died, right? They all died. And that's very interesting for us. We are sacrificing our life into the altar. But we are alive. Alive in the sense that what? We are alive so that we can continue living our lives for God. Yeah, we would die for ourselves, right? Every day, we are sacrificing our lives to God. So, that's good, right? Paul is appealing to us, right? To sacrifice. But, like what I said a while ago, most people need a reason to do that. Right? You find a reason to sacrifice your life, to give your life to Christ. Right? We see a lot of things in the Word of God, but we don't find place to put it. We don't work to file those things that we found in the Bible. Where do we file the exhortation of Paul? Give your life to God. We should file that under a reason to do it. Right? And Paul gave us several reasons from this word, so we would give our lives to God. So we're done with the first word, appeal, right? The first three words, I beseech you, right? And then the second word is what? I want you to look at the second word that is the beginning of the reason. Beginning of the reason that Paul gave us for us to give our lives to God. The word therefore. Right? Therefore in the letter to the Romans. right? It rhymes, right? Four, therefore. And this is the last. Right? And therefore, who's left in their grammar class? Me, right? So, I really don't like English when I was studying. I really don't like grammar. Just like Anna doesn't like grammar. Me doesn't like grammar. So I learned more about grammar when I finished my degree in chemical engineering. And that's the time I learned more about grammar. Because I really don't study English when I was in high school, college, as an engineering student. I only attend my English 1 because Sister Cora was my classmate. And that's not a good reason to attend. Right? Yeah, because Sister Cora was my classmate in our English 1 in 1992. So that's why I attend the English class. Then after that, I don't have any more interest. And that's not a good reason. Okay. So then I catch up. And I learned that therefore is an adverb. A connecting word. And it's very helpful for me that I know it's a connecting word. So what it is connecting to and from, right? From and to. So it's connecting from your current statement to the past action or information. What's the current statement right now, brothers and sisters? Give your life to God as a living sacrifice. And we are connecting it to the last 11 chapters of the letter to the Romans. All the information, all the incredible words that Paul said about our salvation are there. So Paul is telling us, connect it there. Right? Based on all those information, therefore, give your life to God. Do you still remember those words? Those statements in chapters 1 to 11, right? Like, for example, why do I need to give my life to God? This is one of very good reasons. In chapter 5, right? We are free from the penalty of sin, right? That's a very good reason to give your life to God. Another one, chapter 6. We are free not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin, right? Can you imagine that, brother and sister? We are free from the power of sin. We can choose to say no to sin and yes to God. Amen?
Amen.
What else? You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And here's another good reason for you to give your life to God. We are sons and daughters by adoption. Right? What else? We are beyond all possibilities of condemnation. Chapter 8, verse 1. What else? Chapter 8, verse 29. You are elect, predestined to conform to the image of His Son. And verse 39. Why we need to give our lives to God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Right? So these are the reasons. And wait, there's more. Right? Look what Paul said. offer your life as a living sacrifice, there are two more reasons. Third, because it is holy and acceptable to God. Holy and acceptable to God. What is holy? Set apart. Special. Brothers and sisters, our lives has a special purpose. When you offer your life to God, it's a holy thing. And when you give your life to God, it is acceptable to God. Right? Acceptable. One of my favorite words here. Acceptable. We don't really appreciate the word acceptable here. Right? Until we read the Old Testament, when they sacrifice, when they offer sacrifices, right? What is acceptable and acceptable. And then we can really greatly appreciate what is acceptable to God. Right? So when we look at Genesis 4, right? About Abel and Cain offering their sacrifices. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain was not accepted. Look at the history of Israel. Right? Many times throughout the course of their history, God said, I don't accept your sacrifices. And He told them why? Because you're doing it as a religious practice. Your heart is not into it. You're not truly worshiping God. You're not living your life for God. Therefore, it is an acceptable sacrifice. Right? And what is... And our life is acceptable? So what made it acceptable to God? Right? And Peter answered that. Joshua, can you read 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5.
To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Amen. You see the last three words, brothers and sisters? Through Jesus Christ. We are a holy priest offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Through Jesus Christ. Right? So our sacrifice, our lives is acceptable to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the cleansing work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Through His sacrifice. And you know, brothers and sisters, right? If you are an unbeliever, if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, you cannot offer your life as a sacrifice. It is unacceptable. Because apart from the cleansing work of Jesus Christ on the cross, God cannot accept life, offering of life, if you are an unbeliever, if you don't accept Jesus Christ. Because our sacrifice, our living sacrifice, is acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God is very picky, right? In the Old Testament, during the offering of animal sacrifices, right? You cannot sacrifice animal with sickness, right? Deformity, spots, blemish, right? So you need to sacrifice without blemish, without spots, right? That's why I love this word acceptable, brothers and sisters. It goes back a lot of, it brings back a lot of memories for me. Because I imagine if I'm an animal right now, right? I am not acceptable, right? I am sick. Thank God we have Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. Thank God I'm not an ox. Because I will not be accepted as sacrifice. But through Jesus Christ, our lives are accepted, holy and acceptable to God. Because those requirements is a picture of what? It's a picture of the kind of sacrifice that you and I would offer under the new covenant. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are the living sacrifice. Thank God. And the last one is what? And which is what? Which is a reasonable service and spiritual sacrifice. Right? And spiritual worship. Service is worship. Reasonable service. Right? If you remember John chapter 4, right? When Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman by the well, right? Starting about worship. He said, God is the Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Right? Spiritual element and aspect is needed to our worship. Or else it is not a genuine worship. There must be a spiritual element and aspect to our worship, brothers and sisters. Worship is of the Spirit. Worship is in the Spirit. Right? That's what Paul is telling us in verse 1. Right? It is a reasonable worship. It is an act of a spiritual worship when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Right? Why do you think we sing song, right, at the start of our worship? What do you mean when we say worship? We go to church to worship. We sing gospel song. We raise our hand. We close our eyes. Although we don't jump, right? We don't fall on the ground. Okay. We shout, yeah, right, sometimes. So, but those are vehicles, right, that we can use to enter worship, right? I can come here in church, sing a song, close my eyes, raise my hand, shout, dance, jump up and down, and fall on the ground. And still, brother and sister, I haven't worshipped God. I can do that, but I haven't worshipped God. Why? Because through worship, on its core, is this spiritual. I'm not saying we cannot sing, brothers and sisters. Huh? I love to sing. But singing doesn't love me, right? So, I raise my hand, yes. We sing, right? singing is our vehicle to enter worship. Right? Raising our hands is an expression of our worship. Right? But the essence of worship is spirit, not fleshly or carnal. So when we sing, right? When you raise your hand and tell God, here I am. I'm offering my life to you, Lord Jesus. Right? And that's what Paul said as an act of spiritual worship. And let me end with the last reason, which is 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. Let me just quote it. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. This is about what? We were bought with a price by our Lord Jesus Christ. And our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So glorify God in our body. Amen. And Paul is trying to tell us here, it may not resonate to you as a reason to give your life to Jesus Christ. But Paul is trying to tell us, Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us. He has the right to own our lives. He has the right to claim us. He deserves, brothers and sisters, to be the king of our lives, to be the Lord of our lives. Like Paul said, I urge, I appeal to you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. God bless everyone.
Thank you, Brother Rory. We have just a short song, and then Brother Henry will give us a short sharing as well. Shall we just stand and sing the song? He's here, he's here. Okay. Brother Gan sent his apologies. He is not able to make it because he's having problem getting his sleep. That's why today he's not able to. Right? It is recorded. Yeah, the whole sharing is. Oh no, Bergman couldn't do the recording. Yeah, yeah. That's why we are doing the sharing. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
He's here, hallelujah. He's here, amen. He's here, holy, holy. I will bless.
because yesterday I was having a lot of trouble because family was there, and I couldn't. There's nothing, no me to eat. The only me there was once. So because my son's mother-in-law came and cooked us Hokkien prawn me, so there's not much meat in that. Instead, only prawns. There was 3 kilograms of thick bee hoon that you fry for. And there were 15 of us, and what's left was almost half the food because Tama also cooked lumpia, and there was yam roll and all sorts of things. So this morning I feel bad. So anyway, I prayed and I pray that Lord will let me come today and stand before pulpit. I thank God for that. And then also I like to thank God for yesterday we went to Changi Point and took the gunboat out to return the ashes of our dear brother Christopher back to the earth. We were there and wind was rather strong, I think about 30 kilometers speed, you know. So and it was raining and the boat was, you know, rocking around, and Sister Dorothy was supposed to throw off the ashes off the site, and the guy who organized it did not understand the elements that the wind, when you blow, the wind is behind you. When you drop the ashes will fly away from you, you know? So he says, you drop the whole bag into the sea rather than, you know, because you are afraid that the ashes will come back. Science does not permit that, you know. The wind bring from the port side of the boat, you are standing on the starboard. So if she was standing precariously outside of the railings, I think about four or five people were holding on to a jacket. And then, anyway, thank God that she didn't fall. Everything went well and we went back. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Today I'm going to share. Shall we have a word of prayer? Gracious Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time that I can come forward and share, Lord, what you have taught me in the past few weeks, Lord. You put these words into my heart. I don't know why, but you did. And now I bring shed, Lord, and I ask that your Spirit continue to guide me, Lord, and continue to put words in my mouth and in my heart as well. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed in us, Lord. Because we know, Lord, we are all working towards the revival. We thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today I'm going to share something called Knowing It or Living It. Now, my brother Paul sent me a message. Brother Young wants me to share. I was in the office, you know, quite busy. Later I saw the message. Funny enough, I wasn't in a panic mode. I wasn't nervous. Better to share. Am I loud enough? Yes. And I prayed, Lord, what should I share? And remind me that what transpired, I think about 2-3 weeks ago, back home, I was talking to Stama, you know, because she has a health issue with her knees. I'm quite sure that it's gout. It's true that all the retention of the gout. So I sit there and she's not so sure. So she decided to go for a blood test, you know. And expected it's inconclusive. So I told Dharma, see? Your problem is gout. So you need to do something about it. I said, yeah, I know. So I said, Mom, you know it, right? Are you going to do something about it? Sorry, Amma. Yeah, but it's a blessing to us. Thank you. So, say, okay, yeah, I know. We'll do something about it. So I told her, you know, we've been going on this keto diet, you know. So, she comes in. Now, this keto diet that I'm in, it comes from my son, who has been doing this keto diet for I think about 6 months.
and he has a friend who has done this for a few years, and his blood vessels are like that of a baby, you know, and his blood tests that he had zero chance of getting a heart attack, zero chance of having the artery block. So he did. So my son did it, and he lost 15 kilograms, you know, in the first few months, and then he gained another 4 kilos back after he exercised. So, seeing that, I did the whole. I followed him, you know, and I did the same thing. I have a keto diet. Try not to eat the rice. In fact, I don't eat the rice for a long time, but once in a while we cheat, you know, especially on Saturdays when the family comes. You know, we have no choice. The kids and everybody. Not everybody's on keto diet. It's only me, Joyce, and now it's Amma as well. Amma cheats quite a lot. So anyway, to me, that is the knowledge of how I will deal with my own health. You know. So now, in facts, information, we are living in a society where information is king. You need a lot of information. Even the government, they need information how to run the country, the military needs the information how to, what sort of weapons to buy, and other sort of thing. Now, a good example is that of Singapore government. You know, in the 70s, they did a study, they paid people to do two studies, millions of dollars, you know. One to study whether the MRT will work, you know, and then the other is to whether all bus system will work. Now, these are all, they all gather all the facts. They try to portray each system better in their way as a proponent for whatever system they propose. So, having all the facts given back to the government studies it. Just not just becomes a fact, it becomes a knowledge. Now, facts and knowledge are two different things. Fact is, for example, vitamin D is good for you because you need it for your bones. Fine. That's a fact. Yes, you all know it. But how does it work? Doesn't mean that you just take the vitamin D and it's going to cure your bone problem. It's not. You know, you have to know all the facts and study it and know it. You have to be you have to be into the fact and digest it, and then you bring it all together and you live it. How do you live it? You take vitamin D, you need water, you need sunshine, you need exercises, not just vitamin D. It's not going to work. So we have that knowledge and you live it. So I told Amma, you live it, yes. And also, she went for some TCM treatment, they punctured her skin and then cut it and then suck out some of the blood. And now she's better. So knowing it and living it is totally different. Now, I was watching his little brother, Roli. He need to remember all the facts up in his head, but for me and my memory is not good, so I have to write it down. You know? Now, in Bible, Hosea 4:6, well, it's just a small part of it. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You know? So, when we read our Bible, a lot of people read Bible. I'm going to read the Bible once through every year. Or sometimes people say, I'm going to go, oh, I want to do it two times per year, you know. That's fine, you know, but do you understand it? Understanding is one thing. Living it is another. If you read it and then you don't meditate on it, how you apply it to your life, what good is it, you know? Just like taking your vitamin D and pop it in, that's it. No. It's not the same thing. So we know that, and every Sunday we come to church as well. we hear Brother Gang preach. Friday we have a fellowship meeting. Things like that, when you sit there and listen, for me, I sit there and listen. How I apply what he's saying, what Brother Gang is saying, to my life. You know, last Friday, Andrew Peary shared something very nice. It was a little joke that sister right and sister wrong. I don't know, some of you may not know, but about these two sisters, loggerheads with each other about certain things. I don't know, there's some strife within there. And the preacher was preaching, and then later this sister wrong says, yes, oh, the preacher, yes, I'm wrong, you know, that message, I'm really wrong, I regret it, you know. So. And sister right, said, yeah, do you? That's right. So, now, sister wrong, that's the knowledge that she shouldn't have any strife with the sister. And she realized that she is wrong. She has to do something about it. She regretted. Sister right, yeah, you know, it's all popped up that she's right. That's not the Christian attitude, you know. We love our brothers and our sisters. If we know that the sister is wrong or offended you, let's go. That's living it. Not just the sister is very repulsive or that brother very repulsive. I don't want to see his face when he comes down here. Go sit the other side, you know. Then the meeting, the service is over. I run out, you know. Get up. Hide away from him. You know. No, that's not a very Christian brother and sister. It's all family. Well, you know, there was always this saying that a picture is worth a thousand words. But to me, we have every week or any meeting, we always have testimonies. Testimonies to me is a million words. Just last Sunday, Brother Clement, his testimony was very nice, you know, very heartburning, and a lot of us unknowingly we have a grudge against a brother. Unknowingly sometimes, you know, it's a little thing just. But Brother Clement was very nice. Scolded him and realized that very moment scolded the anger. Lord's word, you know, is a knowledge that you live it, he lives it. Slow the anger. And he says sorry. That's where we're living it. What's good if you know that? And every time we listen and we say it. I surrender. But are we surrendering all? Because to surrender all, you have to live it. If you are saying you surrender all and you still hold grudge against your brother and don't want to solve the problem, that's good, you know, not helping your brother, is it? Alright? The testimonies are actually reinforcing the word of God. You know, and Christ says to command, thou shalt love the Lord thy God all thy heart, all thy soul. And the second one, thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself. So if we know this too, because the Bible says, from these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. It means that from these two commandments, everything that is in this book is under that commandment. Very simply, God created us God created the universe, stars and everything that you see, the good, the bad, because he loves us. All stems from the very fact that he loves us. If he does not love us, why does he want us? Why does he want a family? God says he wants a family. And God is holy and righteous, and we need to be renewed and conform to his image, that which he, the creator that created us. Then what should we do? We must have this love for our brothers and sisters. No strife. Nothing. Because if we have strife in the church, we are divided. Now, a family cannot be divided. A family is divided. Just, you know, sometimes you read in the newspaper, the children sue the father or sue the brother. What kind of family is that? You know, mother is suing each other. You know, or the father died and then they rush each other for all this assets and all that. We are not like that. We are the children of God. God loves us. God wants a family. He wants a family that loves their brothers and sisters. Very simply put, we need to do that. If we don't do that, we cannot have a revival. Who wants a revival? Nobody? Anybody? Yes, we all want a revival. Let's do it together. Let's do our part. We cannot say, Brother Paul, Brother Brassi, to the elders, they can hold the fort while Brother Gunn is not feeling well. No, we have to do our part. I'm actually very glad to see that song leading, more brothers leading the song. I really like that. And it's a positive sign that we are slowly but surely going there. So, and on top of that, this sharing that we also need to do, every one of us need to do some sharing, not just Brother Jimmy. When Brother Paul messaged me, I think, yes, I need to do my part. I cannot hear an excuse, say, Brother Paul, my head is very muddled, you know, my memory not so good, I don't have this oratory skills, you know, to stand behind a pulpit and address an assembly. So, but I know the Lord is faithful. You ask, you pray that the Lord will deliver you, to guide you. Yes. And this last 2 weeks, the Lord has been showing me examples of what this would be, and what that should be, and what you should say, and what you need to do. You know. So it seems very easy now, you know. But the thing is, we need a topic. If you don't have a topic, a subject to share, it's difficult. You need a subject. So that subject came to me. You know, as I say, we're walking in on after evening meal with my wife downstairs, and then just went downstairs. This word came to me, knowing it or leaving it. You know, I've done. Yeah, the Word of God, the Spirit of God talk to me, it makes a good subject for sharing this. I never know him, I always share. So, I believe Lord puts in a mysterious way, very mysterious. How will he deal with us, how we deal with our life. Many years ago, you all know that I had this gallbladder stone problem in hospital 3 times. And went to see a doctor, specialist, and diagnosis gout. Gallbladder stone. So funny, when I think back, it was very odd that this surgeon did not schedule a date for operation to remove my gallbladder. Because usually they do, you know, shall we schedule a date to remove your stones or your gallbladder? No, he did not do that. He said, I'll see you in a month's time. That's rather odd, isn't it? What can you do in a month's time, you know? So, anyway, released that, the guy knows my problem, and then he was talking to the late David, brother David Clapper. And he went through the same thing. He had this recipe to remove his gallbladder, his gallstone. He did it. He removed it. He says, well, about 700 stones is easy, you know. And then he did a second time, a few months later, to remove the rest. Fantastic. Praise the Lord for that. Now, that is a testimony. Testimony that what he did, I can do it. It works, you know, not just say, I say, take back the Indian, it's not going to work. He did it, you know, that's a knowledge of how he removes his gallstone. So I took it, and that thing, that recipe, that sharing came just 1 week before I was to go back to the doctor to schedule an operation. So far, I took it a few days before the appointment, and lo and behold, I counted, I don't know, 1,000 stones, tiny little stones, green little ones. You know, I was so happy, wow, praise the Lord. And I took some photographs of it, you know, it's not very nice, but photographs and speaks onwards. So, I went back to the doctor, and the thing is, I removed it holistically. And you know what the doctor said? Those are vegetable seeds. Those are vegetable seeds. Now, if you don't want to remove your gallbladder, now, next time you come to me, I'm not going to do it for you. But, you know what the doctor, you know what kind of surgeon says, that sort of thing, you know. So fine, it doesn't matter to me, you know. I'm not going to have to. I removed the police. Anyway, came out of his office, out of the door, and there was a young doctor. He was like Filipino or what. And I told him I was the assistant, so I talked to him. You know, I did. Oh, congratulations! That's the doctor that you want. Happy food that you remove it holistically. Or is it vegetable seeds? Actually, if you read between the line, hey, I don't make money out of that from you. You know what I mean? Which means there's no operation, you can't make money. Hey, I need money. So, so, to me, a testimony is what really works. It is something that is proven, not just facts. And Brother Clement's testimony, it proves that in our heart that there's love for our brothers and sisters. And if we don't, imagine there will be a strife between the both of them. And if Brother Donan responds in a bad way as well, there will be strife. He won't be sitting like that. He'll be sitting and then pretty fun be sitting there. The far away. So that, praise the Lord, that they are living it. So you know, in our Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, so many examples show us that we need to live the life to the knowledge that we have. The first, Adam and Eve, the first commandment, they failed. if you don't live the command, the, live the commandment, you know,
so you don't pass it through,
don't pass it on, so you will die. But sometimes our common mind, our desires take the better of us. Like serpent was a very handsome looking thing, much handsomer than Adam. You know, God created it in such a way to tempt Eve, and she fell, and the rest of us, the whole world, population of the world fell. You know? So, any consequences that we do, any action that we do or decision that on our part, sometimes has consequences not only to us but to everybody else. And the worst thing is, if you do it, you might create a lot of strife in the family, in the church, a little flock with him, if they see it. So, again, you need to live. Another example is Jonah. Yeah. We all know Jonah, right? God gave him a mission in Nineveh. And he decided to take a ship to Tarshish. So, God created that storm, and then after all that, finding out who he was, the one who's it's the cause of it all, you know, that God got angry with them, got angry with him, and all sorts of things. So they throw him out, and he got stuck in, he got taken up by a whale and in the stomach for 3 days. God made the whale spill up on the beach. And he goes back to Nineveh. So what's the point of disobeying God when we know that whatever God wants of us, his will will be done, whether you like it or not. And if you don't do it, it's like Job. You still got to do it. You still got to go to Nineveh. You know, after all that trouble, you should have just gone there, and then how nice, you don't have to. You're stuck in a whale's stomach for 3 days. I just can't imagine being in a whale's stomach for 3 days. Ew. The digested food in there, and then the stink, and then, you know. I don't know how he survived. He must have eaten some of it to survive. Well, thank God for it. You don't get to go into a whale's stomach. Well, God is gracious and merciful, full of loving kindness. Man, we cannot take for granted that God will deal with us, always deal with us gently. You know, God always deal with us in the beginning gently. Not so gentle, a bit more tough. Yeah. So why don't just let the Lord lead? You know, the Lord say do this, you do it. The Lord say go to that brother and say sorry. Go to the brother and say sorry. Go to the sister and say sorry. But then again, our ego. Just a three-letter word, though it's small, but it's a very painful word when you think about it. If you don't love your brothers, just better than him, why should I go in with him? He's the one who gave a problem, you know. Why should I do that? He should be coming to me to you. Sometimes on the street, we as we walk, you know, we someone bump into us. What do? We score them down. Sometimes we know it's not our fault. So sorry. Still, it's a better thing. You feel so much better. And when you say I'm sorry to him, God is happy. You know, if you go to see somebody, I'm sorry. Even though it's not your fault, the Lord is happy. You know. The angels in heaven are singing a song every time you say you realize you are wrong, or you say sorry, repent, or whatever you do in the sight of God, that is good. You know, we don't, I would think about it.
do this for you. Thank you.
The angels of the heaven are singing your song.
Just for that. How nice, you know. So our action, the action that God wants us to take, to do, to live, will always be glad in the eyes of the Lord. So, when we hear Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, we need to get our priorities right. And we often we always ask for prayer. My bones are aching, you know. I'm very sick. My legs are not good. But before we ask the Lord for His healing or for His help, we must get our priorities right. We must get our life straight first, you know, with Lord, with the Lord. We need to seek His kingdom. But you look, get up, you don't care less. Don't read the Bible. You don't pray. You know, you don't sing praises of God with the whole heart. And we ask for prayer, ask for healing. Lord would think. No need to say it. You know, this Bible, the verses that we know, this knowledge that we know, we need to seek the kingdom of God first. All these things in the end. Even when I was had this gold, had this stone, I was praying, and this verse came to me. Then I think myself, did I seek the kingdom of God first? And yes, I did. And God works in a very mysterious way. I still have my gallbladder. And I'm very thankful that I have my gallbladder. Because now I'm a keto diet. There's a lot of meat that I eat. And this morning I was eating a Wagyu patty with 3 boiled eggs. You know, it's a whole bowl of it. And after eating the patty, the plate, a bowl of oil. I used to drink the oil. Because on a keto diet, you need a lot of fat. And if I do not have that gallbladder, how is my system going to cope with all the fat and the oil that coming through the digestive system? So I really thank God that I still have my gallbladder. Yeah. The gallbladder contains the gall, and if you eat a lot of fat, it goes sweet, it goes inside and sweet, and you know, and help to take care of the oil and the fat. So, I really thank God for all that. How much time do we have? And we really need to. Okay, Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10. And have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created this. Once again, we need to have knowledge, and as I said, we need to study the Bible, mull over it, meditate how the Word of God is how I'm going to apply it to my life, whether the brothers and sisters is behaving correct, but how you put to yourself. Not others. And you know, the first thing to do is in the church, hopefully once again everybody will play their part. And this by 1 Corinthians 13:2 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13:2, verse 2 and 13. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could move mountains and have not charity, I am
nothing. Verse 13, and now abide the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of this is charity. As again I said, we need to remove that strife, that little dislike for our brothers, the brothers that you feel, or a sister. If we remove that, then we have that charity. You know what is charity? We need to have that charity is love. The love that has nothing, no constraint. You know, you just love the person as he is. Even though he's nasty, you still love him. Even if Clement is nasty, I still love him. I pray for your nastiness. Thank God for your nastiness. If you created your nastiness. That's true. So, we need to live as a family of God. Brothers and sisters come together. Because when this is all over and we go to live together in heaven, heaven on earth. That we will, every one of us is a family of God. You know, there's no clan, no Gan clan or Lim clan or Tan clan. Or, so we all live together as one. So we cannot have this strife now. If we have this strife now, I can't imagine when we go there. I don't think we'll see any strife there. Like some. You don't see murderers there. No, or if you do see murderers, ex-murderers who have repented, yes, have been saved again. And really, let's work on this and towards the revival. Everyone, do their part. And how are we going to do it? Whether Lolly shared half of it, I share half of it, maybe someone share half of it, each one take our turn. Because each one is different, each one has a certain different thinking, each one has a different experience with life that they live. And by sharing it, we learn from it. Whether it's good, it's good or bad. If it's good, we live with it. If it's bad, we don't practice it. If we really want a revival, I think that's the only way we go. If we still have this all this strife, and I couldn't care less, I'm not going to share. I cannot share. I don't know how to eat song. Just stand up here, let's sing the first song. That's quite easy. As you go along, it becomes very natural. And just sing with your whole heart. Don't put your hand in your pocket. I surrender all. So, that's it and done. I think that ends my sharing. And shall we have a word of prayer? Gracious Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this sharing. You have given me to deliver, Father. Gracious Father, you have guided me. You have blessed this church here, Father. We know, Lord, that you are with us all these times. You are, Lord, dealing with each one of us, Lord. Though it may be slowly, Lord, Father. Lord, we know, Lord, you know that you. We have all our failings, Lord. But then again, it's not an excuse. We need to work. We need to trust you, Lord, to seek thy kingdom and ask for thy help to deal with our life for the way we live, to live it right.
law and like commandments that we need to follow. Not like Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to Tarshish, and you deal with it very harshly, but then it ends up, Lord, he still does it. But we can ask, Lord, that you be gentle with us, Lord. But in heaven, we thank you, Lord, once again for this time. Thank you, Lord, that the word that we share, Lord, today speaks to our hearts and everyone. And asking himself, Lord, are we part of the revival this morning? Are we part of the revival that we hope to have, Father? If we hope to have a revival, what are we doing? Are we contributing to it, Lord? Are we doing our part? If not, I pray to put out this Lord. Will open up their hearts, Lord, and put up their hands and say, I'll do it. Be part of the revival. God in heaven, thank you, Lord, once again, Lord. Bless us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing with me. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, bless you, Ren sister. So, let's stand up, is there any prayer request? Because we also know that some of our overseas brothers and sisters, they text in their prayer requests, right? So maybe we all take prayer requests, then we sing a song or two, then we close with a prayer, alright? Truly, Lord, as the song goes, O God, thou art our true friend, Lord, as you have spoken to Abraham. You now call us your friend. Lord, all the burdens that is on our hearts, all the trials, all the sadness and the loss, but yet we know one thing, Lord, that you are a friend to us, our Savior. You are always there, Lord, to hear from us. Father, we like to remember, oh God, Sister Dorothy and her family and the passing of Brother Christopher. The one thing for sure we know, that he's in your hand, oh God. May you comfort Sister Dorothy and the children. Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that they would turn towards you and remember that thou art a God that is always caring for them, Lord. I pray for Sister Dorothy, Emily and Adeline, that you would comfort their heart and bring them, Lord, back into the fellowship of God. And Lord, we also like to remember there's a brother LeBron in the U.S. in the trials that he has to face. Give him the wisdom of God in all the local regulations and help him in his trials. We pray, Lord, and commit his needs into your hand, O God, that your Holy Spirit would guide him and lead him. And also, we like to remember Sister Anita in the passing of her aunt. Lord, you know, Lord, that in our hearts, we always are very full of care and concern for the family that are affected. May you touch Sister Anita, O God, and comfort her, and also help the family, and bless Brother Brazil, Lord, and the children. Lord, I pray, God, that you strengthen them, and help them through, Lord, this difficult time. And Father, you know our pastor, God, Raganes. Indeed, O Lord, we are so proud of him, O God. His ministry that he has, how that he has taken the stand all the way to the end, O God. Lord, the suffering that he has to go through, there is a purpose. And I can see that in each and every one of us, it's for us, Lord, to step forward, O God, and to really pray for him and do our part to uphold the ministry that he has raised here, Lord. Lord, you know what we have done, O God, the outreach in helping our brothers and sisters internationally. Father, may we all continue, O God, to do our little part, Lord, to stand in the gap, to serve and to help one another, and to support this for him, O God. He will be very happy, O God, to see us coming together. Lord, you told him, O God, that it is for a revival. Lord, we trust you, O God, and we believe that as you stir in our hearts, draw us closer to you. May we have that love, O God, and that obedience, O God, to submit unto your word. Let all obstacles, O God, strife and stumbling that is causing within this church, let it all be put under the blood. Lord, if you are the one in control, help us submit to your authority, O God. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you strengthen each and every one of us.
Yes.
And Lord, for our brother Pierre, Lord, you know he has served you so faithfully, O God, and his body also is getting old. But Lord, we pray, Lord, that you continue to sustain him, O God, and his heart is always all out to serve you and praise you. He's a wonderful brother. We just like to remember him and pray that you bless him and help him too, Lord. Amen. And Lord, for all our overseas friends, sisters, and questions that I have missed out, Lord God, Lord, I pray for each and every one of them. God, the Lord God that is able to know all their needs and supply all the wants of God that they may have. I pray, Father, that you will touch each and every one of us. And we thank you, Lord, for today as we close. We pray for your blessings. May you be with us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.